certificate. Next slide. It's in English. Next slide. So for the Fukumetsu, for lineal descendancy and their genealogy, their ohanas, like we said, directly related to Ino. It's my children's fifth great grandfather. It's Kolea's fourth great grandfather. So that grave, that site that is on that property, is very sacred and important to our ohana. And taking the responsibility to take care of it is extremely important for us. Next slide.
So this picture on the left, lower left, is Ramana Wahine. The next Wahine is my, the first one was my great-great-grandmother Navahine. The next Wahine is my great-grandmother Jenny. The next Kane in the back is my grandma Jenny's husband. The young boy in the front is my grandpa, and the Kane in the middle is my great-great-grandfather.
Navahine is Ino's granddaughter. Next slide. This is the Fukumetsu genealogy. If you follow the yellow highlighted area, it traces back past Ino to Ino's parents and grandparents. So it's just a lineal genealogy proving lineal descendancy to those burial sites through the Fukumetsu genealogy.
Yes.
Next slide. This is just the documentation. We based this off of what is required for the burial site registration because we had contacted Shipti and she said that she was gonna, Regina Hilo said she would start a burial site registration form. And we also started to work on the burial site form. And so we're just presenting what goes with that registration form. Next slide. This is Jenny Fukumetsu and her husband's marriage certificate, showing that Navahine and Rusuki was her parents. Next slide.
This is the affidavit of Jenny. Which one is this? This is proof of her being in the valley and her grandmother using her native rights in the valley and still protecting all those rights.
Well, and it she's claims Meleli'ili'i is her grandmother. And Meleli'ili'i is also buried at that site. And Meleli'ili'i is the granddaughter of Ino. Next slide. This is a direct connection for genealogy, again, between Navahine and Jenny Sebastian and Kola's grandfather, Marvin Fukumetsu. Next slide. This is Kola's father's birth certificate. So for genealogy reference, it shows his grandmother as Jenny Sebastian. In the previous slide, it showed Jenny Sebastian as the daughter of Navahine. It's all just genealogy proof. Next slide. This is the Waikane Congregational Church Cemetery. We went and got their record document. And the first Ohana member in the Fukumetsu family to be buried in the actual cemetery would have been Navahine Fukumetsu in 1947. So before her, all of the ohana was buried in Hakipu'u. They weren't buried in a cemetery. They have no records.
Waikane was the closest and more familiar ahupua'a close to them that would have a church.
Next slide. So on April 26, 2020, there was unpermitted grading and grubbing work. No permit on file through the DPP. The DPP claims there's an SMA permit with restrictions on work, but could not provide the details to that SMA. The reason why there's an SMA is because there's two historic sites on the land that was being graded and grubbed. And then there's the issue with the burial sites, and it's also shoreline area. On the site, there was a mini excavator, backhoe, and a skid steer all doing grading and grubbing, like extensive grading and grubbing. There was large trees between 30 to 60 feet uprooted. And there was also an ancient rock wall dug up, and the rocks were chipped away. The wall was, I'm gonna explain the wall. The wall was, obviously it hasn't been disturbed previously. It was elevated above where the stream is at. It is pretty kept together still.
One moment, please hold on. Regina, please let in council member Komana Olana. His system crashed again. Mahalo. Thank you. Ho'omau.
Next slide. This is a photo of one of the trees that was dug up in that area where the graves are at, near the historic sites registered on that TMK. Next slide. This is the grubbing work that was done. There's large piles throughout the property where the dirt that was dug up was just pushed into piles. Some of the piles have rocks in it from that, the original ancient rock wall. The rock wall could have been possibly part of the Lo'i Terrace site number, or it could also be the burial site markers for Ino'ino, or even possibly maybe a small ahu.
Yeah, many possibilities in the area that it's at. There would have to be a little bit better investigation.
Archaeological assessment would be something it would need. Next slide. Is there the next slide? Sorry.
Anyway, that's my youngest son in the picture.
Next slide.
Maybe you're frozen.
I don't know if can you hear me, Leslie? Okay. So this is just more of the grading and grubbing work with the amount of dug up soil. And next slide. The entire area was cleared out with all those machines. There's like five different machines just tearing through the property where we know there's known graves, where we know that there's two historic sites, and where that rock wall was exposed. Next slide. These are some of the rocks that were dug up. They were displaced from the area, from the complete wall that was there.
It's a complete, you can kind of see it as a long structure. I would give it maybe 80 feet long. It's a straight line going down with pohaku stacked up for a purpose. It wasn't necessarily just laying there.
It is a rock, an ancient rock wall. Next slide. I think that's it. So our ohana was bringing this to, I contacted Chip D on Tuesday, April 28th, because there was still grading and grubbing going on. It required our family to go down there and stand in front of the machines. with our children to stop the machines from any more work. We had previously had discussions with the current landowner about the graves, I think about four times regarding that property and about any work that's done there, that there's like needs to be the process and procedures that's set by SHPTI or the burial council before there's any grading or grubbing work done, because there's known graves there and the property was in the process of being registered as a grave site, as a burial site, from our last SHPTI meeting or our last burial council meeting. The archaeologist that Kualoa Ranch has on had hired has a copy of the map in her files. So I presented as much as I could. We've tried to discuss it as much as we could so that they understood the significance of that area and how important to our ohana it was that it wasn't, the graves weren't disturbed, and that the most care was used when doing anything on that property.
And this wasn't a personal matter. My great grandmother scrapped with the original owner because of the fact that there's Ivi Kupuna there, and she is, you know, the previous landowner was pretending like she didn't care, she didn't want to know, she was going to do what she wanted anyway. And so Jenny explaining all of these things to us, that she had to stand around and she had to, you know, make a stand and tell these people that had bought the property that there's Ivi there. You had bought it, you now attain it, but just be respectful to the surrounding areas and what is there. And so there was a lot of greenery kind of just covering it all. There hasn't been really any work done there for a very long time. There's like, you know, gingers and heliconias grown throughout. So it is almost like an untouchable zone. And that was like, almost grandma didn't want it to open up because it becomes this possibility of development. Like someone could put another house or someone could make something that it wasn't supposed to be. We have this big empty lot of land. Somebody sees it as opportunity.
So we requested that SHPTI that helps with the process to register the graves on that site. That our ohana would be lineal descendants for those graves. Sorry if that doesn't, if I don't know if any of that really made sense or was very cohesive to you guys. Is there any questions about that?
Himauni no kaoko, council members.
I'd like to thank them both for the presentations. I caught them 100% in everything they're doing. Are you seeking to be on our maybe next month's agenda, seeking linear recognition to these Kupuna?
Yeah. Okay. We started the registration form and the lineal descendancy form, and all the process, like the documents. Okay. That's why we presented the documents, because those are all the documents that would go along with that form.
Okay. I can say for myself, I look forward to seeing it on the agenda, and I will support your guys' recognition 100%. And also, I'll send you guys my contact information if you guys need anything. Any kako, you need a body to stand there to protect your kupuna. I'm willing to be there for you folks. So mahalo.
Mahalo.
I too would echo that I could make a visit out there if you message me. You can text me at 225-4123 and I can see about taking a drive out there.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Because I don't know if there still isn't a Ko'olau Poko rep. I know, weren't you the previous Ko'olau Poko rep? I couldn't get in touch with the Ko'olau Poko representative for the board. So
yeah, I will go in place of the Ko'olau Poko rep. We do have our Ko'olau Loa rep. He had to leave earlier, and that was Kali Fermantes. He, you know, I'll let him speak for himself, but he has responded to things out there. But since I am, you know, still on the meeting, you can message me and I can message him to see if we can work out a time to come out and visit.
Okay, that would be awesome to have people come out to see it. And just for the support too, I think it's hard to know like exactly what the procedures are with this process, you know, like initially it's just first was to stop the machines just to make sure that it wasn't disturbed, but we don't know what the next steps would be, you know, to follow up other than burial registration.
So let me get this straight. To synthesize what you have presented to us, that this development action is being undertaken by someone who is a current landowner, or and what kind of landowner are they? Is it fee simple or was it something else?
It's a Kualoa Ranch. It's a corporation.
Yeah, it's a corp.
So Kualoa Ranch is now responsible for this?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, there's potential other, you know, alternatives for addressing this. I'm going to take it that you have tried to reach out to that landowner.
Yeah. When we made that stand on Tuesday, April 28th, we also had a lele there on the site. The landowner had his workers cut it up and throw the lele pieces into the rubbish. Along with the lele. I have the photos of that and of the area that we marked off because it had the names of the descendants that are buried there on that site on a board so that everyone, we sat there with our children all day so that the machines wouldn't run through. And they noticed us, they didn't do any more work that day. But as soon as we did leave, they broke down the lele, cut it up into tiny pieces and threw it in a rubbish pile with the leis that were basically used to block off the area as like a rope.
And we had to leave because I had to deliver poi to a few people that ordered poi. So we were waiting all day. We had no reaction, no response to the landowner or any of his employees. We waited and waited and waited. And at a certain point, I had to leave to go deliver poi and kalo. And when we came back, which wasn't very long, which maybe we went to Kahalu,
and
30 minutes at the most. When we had returned, it was all chopped down as though they had been watching us and didn't, you know, give us respect to approach us and see what we were doing. And they just cut it down and threw it away. And so, yes, there was that.
Yeah. And even in that discussion, it didn't go very well.
Yeah, it wasn't.
But that was after we have already presented the information to the archaeologist that they have or had hired. Liz Chandler.
Liz Chandler.
It's a sign. I don't know the name.
CI.
Yeah.
Hey, aloha. This is Regina. Liz is with Scientific Consultant Services, SCS.
They were previously hired for a last burial site, and so they actually have the copy of the map, because I tried to present everything that we had so that we didn't have to go through this issue where it literally comes to me standing as a family with our children to stop machines. I wanted to be able to explain to them that this needs to be done in a culturally respective
and more orderly fashion, and not just on a Sunday ripping through it machines we're done. I don't care. We're like, it's done already. It's kind of, gut wrenching when, you know, you go somewhere for a Sunday to hang out with your family. You come back on a Monday or a Sunday evening and it's like, you know, it's totally different.
Since you are from that area, do you have connection to Kumuhula Marikupau? out there.
That would be, is that Waikane? Is she in Waikane?
I believe she is Waikane or Waiahole originally, but all of her work is done at the ranch. Mm-hmm. And she has a very close relationship with John Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Kula is an extremely significant place for, you know, every type of Hawaiian value culture that you could think of. I mean, warriors, right. Kahunas, everything. So that area is special.
Right. So the reason why I bring that up is because I will most definitely reach out to Kumu Mari, and I'm going to get her to, you know, broker and engage with John Morgan, and I'll address it, you know, directly with him and say that these are the concerns that come from the community. But I think that, you know, I just want to be cognizant of the current relationships and my connectivity out there. Not that John, is that you? Aloha. Aloha.
Unmute.
Yay. I'm glad you're here. Thank you for being present in this meeting. Now that I can see you, I would like an opportunity for us to engage about this issue. John, I assume that you have been present for the duration of their presentation. Is that correct, John? Hold on, unmute. Oh, okay, doesn't work. If you would like to, you can type your response and I can articulate it for folks. So for the Fukumitsu Ohana, I am a firm believer of, you know, every effort made to have initial engage. Now you have had an initial engage that perhaps was not the engage that you were looking for or hoping for, and you are you have greater concerns now. Thus, you are bringing this concern to this forum. I would like you to be aware that the current schematic of how everything's laid out does not give us the immediate wherewithal to have impact on what's happening, except for the fact that you're coming to the council for recognition to those burials. There are a couple of other discussions that I would like to try to engage on, and I hope that since John is here on the call with us, I look forward to his potential amiability to have a discussion with me. And let's see, I think he may be typing to us now. Is that you? There you are. Okay, I think I can hear you, John. Oh, okay, no. I heard somebody unlock, but okay, yeah, technical difficulties. Okay, great. According to John, he is very open for discussion. So I would say to the Fukumitsu Ohana that please continue to do what you're doing. I commend you for the advocacy that you're doing on behalf of, you know, the families whom you descend. And we, you know, I hope that the things that could be done to address this situation can be handled through diplomatic engage with the necessary parties. We have John Morgan here on the line with us. He has heard and seeing your presentation. And so, John, my number is 225-4123. You may feel free to either text me directly and we can set up a meeting time. We can meet social distancing, or we can meet in person. It's your choice. I am open to either. And I am able to come to you if you choose to meet in person. I don't mind to go. Let's see. I'd invite you over here, but I don't think you'd like the confines of my living room. And we can take it from there. To the Fukumitsu Ohana, I'm not guaranteeing you any sort of outcome in any way, shape, or form. I can guarantee you that we will look forward to agendizing you, Regina, and Leslie, please, ke olu olu, let us agendize this family's recognition contingent upon complete submission of all that they need to put forward to substantiate their lineal descendancy claim. We look forward to you on our next agenda. Please be advised to all parties that this is a form of public consultation, you know, and notification that you are, in fact, who you say you are, that you are descendants of the Ivi Kupuna there. And in public forum, anytime you engage, at least with us, over the last 12 years, I know we've seen news media come in. You know, once news media gets hold of a story, they'll come, they'll want to ask questions. You know, so for both the family, you know, and for Kualoa Ranch, depending on how discussions go, you know, it's always nice to have discussions be between the parties that need to be privy to it, rather than calling undue attention to things, because, you know, it's not always in the best interest of the Ivi Kupuna. But once again, now you are engaging in a public forum. So we look forward to being able to tend to your request and you know, your needs for advocacy as much as we can.
Mahalo.
Yeah, Mahalo. Yes.
Hello.
Yes.
Can I ask something real fast?
Yes.
Okay, so I'm just wondering, since John Morgan is in on this call, I'm hoping that there is an agreement that there will be no more moving of machines that might danger Ivi Kupuna burials. And I'm just wondering, has an agreement been made so that everybody kind of just stops what they're doing, especially anything that might damage burials? And if not, can that agreement be made today?
I will look to John for a message on whether there's any amiability to any of that. Okay.
See, oh my ho tunge ku, con tu news.
Okay. It's good thing that you guys
say that same word again earlier.
It's good thing that you guys don't speak Tongan, because my computer swears at me.
Sorry.
You heard it.
Ian Matheson here. I was trying to coach John on using his phone to get his audio up, and so he replied privately to me. So, John, if you click on the blue thing where my name is, you'll see reply to everyone, and then you'll get your reply.
Thank you, Ian. Mahalo.
Emeliki, you guys are amazing.
Okay, so Ian, according to what you've written to all of us, there will be a temporary halt to ground construction. Am I correct? Or are you just reiterating?
Yes. No, he says we will not have machines do any work. Okay. So that was John Morgan's reply, and he says mahalo to all of you.
Mahalo. Thank you, John. Okay, machines, now there's still manual labor. So, you know, I would say that if there's any thought to proceed with whatever the plans and intentions are. There you are. Technically challenged. No problem. I'm technically challenged, and I'm challenged on a lot of other things too. So don't worry about that.
Anita?
Yes.
I just had one suggestion, if you don't mind me interjecting.
Yes, please go ahead.
Mahalo nui. Is he going to say specifically where he will not have the machines work, and especially in all those areas that the Fukumitsus put in their presentation, put for?
You know,
into anything.
Okay. Here's the messages that came in. Okay, so John Morgan responds, yes, they will not use machines on the property. From Paige Kawakami, Mahalo. It would be good for him to affirm his commitment not to disturb the grounds in this chat since it is on public record. Well, you know, we do know that in certain instances, sometimes ground disturbing machinery is used, and sometimes ground disturbing also takes place through manual labor and effort. So, you know, again, I don't want to be premature in speaking about anything and not knowing exactly what are the plans for, you know, for that area of concern. But to John and to Ian, to the Fukumitsu Ohana, I really hope that we do plan to plant grass as per our original plans. You know what may be a wonderful thing is that a couple of things. I'd like to hope that this is an opportunity for meaningful and productive engage between the parties, and that's going to be primarily between Kulo Ranch via John Morgan and Ian Masterson and the Fukumitsu Ohana. To John, my experience in these kinds of discussions where there is a project proponent, and in this case that's you, the project proponent will try to engage the community and, you know, convene people that may have a say. Now it's the Fukumitsu Ohana that is pulling themselves together and stepping forward. I know that there are many other Ohana out there, and I'd like to encourage you to consider the following. It is often ideal to engage descendants. The way to engage them, I know that, and I know I see a couple of people online who can speak to this perhaps better than I can. But notification that there is a meeting that you're convening. Office of Hawaiian Affairs is one of the ways to disseminate that information, as well as, you know, other news publications. It has been heard of here in this public forum, either directly through yourself, or if you retain someone to do a follow-up and someone who is able to engage a community in a meaningful way, that's something that we have seen here on Oahu. That's pretty much how many of the projects go. And the Fukumitsu Ohana, likely you will now not be the sole Ohana in taking on this kuleana, but you would likely be a lead Ohana because you have taken on this cause. In the meetings that have happened on Oahu, usually because it's around the time when people are done working, usually the person who's hosting the meeting will provide some sort of food. Sometimes it's more substantial, sometimes it's just minimal, and a convening place. And that's your opportunity to present your plans on what exactly it is that you are going to do. Any and all of the
you know, those plans and whatever reflects those things at the time you meet can be presented. Now, this is our first time in meeting and interacting, and you know, I will remain positively optimistic towards an amiable resolution to some of the concerns that have been shared. I do believe that there's ways for win-win situations to be reached, but we shall await an opportunity to meet. Is there anything that, on behalf of the Fukumitsu Ohana, for this particular meeting, is there anything else you would request of us?
Not that you could think of, no. But that was a good, I think, asking about stopping the grating and grubbing so it doesn't have to require our family to stand there to stop it is a nice reprieve from this feeling of having to actually physically be there to stop any work. And also, one of the other things would have been asking Shipti if there was actually an archaeological assessment done with the SMA, because there's the historic sites on the property. I don't know if there's work being done on the property. The previous owner had numerous, I think in the last 10 years, like 6 different permits from DPP denied because of from Shipti, from the DLNR department, because it's part of a historic site. So I've just trying to understand if there was actually an archaeological assessment done to make sure that those areas that are already have a site number are protected right now, or were they listed so that even the property owner knows that those site numbers need to be protected.
Mahalo.
Madam Chair, may I?
Yes, please. Hale aloha. I'd like to, I'm not sure how long. John and Ian, you may have been in on the meeting, but Hale Aloha, who is about to offer commentary, is one of our most seasoned resources in the community, who is partially responsible for the burial laws that we abide by. So please, Hale Aloha.
Yeah, aloha, John. Aloha, Ian. Folks I've worked with in the past. So from the perspective of someone who was the first administrative burial sites program when we first started in 1990. If I was to look at this situation, the first question I would ask myself was whether or not, because the Fukumitsus raised some issues with regard to the permitting, right? And so whether or not SHPD, if I was head of the burial sites program looking at this, first thing I would have done is sent state archaeologists to the site to consult with the consulting archaeologists, find out. So my first question would be, is there an archaeological monitoring plan that was in place when the grading and grubbing took place? Like, did you have archaeological monitors on site? So the pictures indicated that there was, disturbance. So there's always concern when you're knocking trees down, because when those roots come up, if those roots grow into a grave, then the ivy comes up with them. So hence the question, was there an archaeological monitoring plan in place? Were there monitors on site when the grading and grubbing was occurring? And are they submitting reports to SHPD to ensure that not just burials now, but that no historic sites are being disturbed as a result of the grading and grubbing? I mean, they made it clear that this is a sensitive area. So normally when you have sensitive areas, you have these protections in place. And one of the main protections is an archaeological monitoring plan. So those guys are on site. They're standing there with the machine. They're working with the operator. If they see anything of concern, then they stop the operator and they investigate. And if it's okay to proceed, they proceed. So my first question would be, was that done in this particular case? Has SHPD investigated the situation to ensure that no historic sites were disturbed during the grading and grubbing? And then the next level of questioning then is, are any of those cultural sites burial sites? Because it seems that if you had properly done the planning or the grading and grubbing work, then you would have found the same information that the Fukumitsu just presented. That this is a cultural, a historic site hotspot. And there's reason to be very careful as you're moving in this area, especially if you're going to be knocking down, you know, trees of that size, especially because the roots that come up with it will disturb subsurfacely. So I guess I'm just asking if Ian or John, if someone can explain, you know, what were the protections in place when this is going on, so a family doesn't have to feel like they have to stand there in front of a machine to protect what could be in the ground, because they have knowledge of this, but whoever's conducting this this activity may or may not have. So, question.
Mahalo.
But I have a question to follow up on that.
Yes.
Another question would be, before they did any grading, was there ever a topographic survey conducted of the site? Because a good survey would have shown where a lot of these features are today in relationship to everything else.
John Morgan just wrote in the chat regarding the archaeological plan.
Okay, hold on one moment. From John, he says, no, we did not have any archaeological plan. Honestly, we did not know about the burials.
AUC, Faith Kalimoha's food distribution.
I learned a lot of information today. I thought it was an old farm because of my experience with the place, which only goes back 50 years and not more. I had to do it all over. We would not have done the grubbing. Okay, that comes directly from John to all of us. Mahalo, John, for sharing that.
I guess my comments were directed at SHPD staff. Like, what are the protections in place? Because we're not just talking about burials; we're talking about historic walls. If there were low E there, you know, whatever the cultural and archaeological sites that were in, that may have existed. You can't just go into an area and just start clearing it. Normally you consult with SHPD first, you present a plan on how you're going to address it, how you're going to mitigate impact, and then how you're going to identify. And usually that requires archaeological staff in the field.
I think I may have asked the wrong question. Was there a topographic survey? I think somebody misunderstood what I said, but a topographic survey would show these a lot of these features on site. I think I might have said archaeological survey by mistake.
Hmm. Aloha, this is Regina from the SHPD. Since our offices have been shut down and we've been working remotely since March 18th, there's been very minimal communication between history and culture staff and archaeological staff. So when this was brought to my attention on April, I think it was April 26th originally, and might have been April 28th, I don't recall. That was when it was first brought to my attention. From that time until now, we have not had any communication with the archaeology branch. And I can say from experience, going back to the last time I was out in Hakipu'u, specifically on Johnson Road, with the Fukumitsus and with John Morgan on a property that's farther up the road and closer to where the Fukumitsus currently live, that at the time when we had a conversation on site about the possibility of there being historic burials there, that Kualoa Ranch at the time made the commitment to have an archaeological monitor specifically on that project. I did not know that Kualoa Ranch had acquired the additional parcel farther down and closer to Moli'i Pond until Summer contacted me in April. So from now until, I mean, from currently, like today, until from the time that I found out in April, I've had no communication with the archaeology staff. And we are not really permitted to do site visits, which is why when I reached out to Summer and Kolea and John, I think as well, I indicated that I wasn't sure when SHPTI staff would be able to facilitate an on-site discussion, consultation, and visit to determine exactly what archaeological features and subsurface properties had been impacted by the grading and grubbing activities. Oya valeno.
Mahalo. Ali aloha. Anything further for Regina?
Nope. Answers the question because, you know, I had gotten the call about it and I just wanted to make sure that, you know, DOCARE was aware that this matter was being looked into to ensure the protection of the sites. But, you know, I've worked with Ian in the past. I've worked with John in the past and doing reburials at Kualoa. You know, I'm comfortable that this is going to work out, but we just really need to improve the level of communication so the families in the area don't have to feel that they got to put their physical bodies on the line, you know, which is, you know, of course a reflection of the Kuleana, but don't have to feel that they got to literally stand in front of a machine and tell them to stop because Awahipana is being disturbed. So I just hope that this, you know, now that we're all on the same page, that this kind of activity doesn't happen again.
Aleloa, could I be so bold to...
You are bold.
to ask, I don't know, because the Fukumitsu Ohana may need, you know, a decent ear to reach out to in terms of helping them to navigate further.
Yeah. Might
be open to that?
Absolutely.
Thank you. Absolutely. Please, hale aloha, if you can message them your contact.
Okay, will do.
Mahalo.
Aloha, this is Regina again from the SHPTI. SHPTI also is committed to following through with the burial registration and assisting the Fukumitsu Ohana in filing their lineal descendant claims to the burials at this property.
And as your current chair and Kona representative for Oahu Island Burial Council, I commit, you know, what time I can, whether it be fielding a phone call from the Fukumitsu Ohana or in, you know, speaking to you, John, or whomever you designate. And I would go even further to say that I like when I see that, you know, first and foremost, the advocacy to respect, honor, and protect our Iwikupuna, our burials, are given a precedent and that they're given priority. But I also like to see where community partners can, you know, grow the potential for them to be not just good community partners, but better and even great community partners. Kualoa Ranch has been operating out there for quite some time. And so far, I've only heard really positive things because your former cultural liaison, Kuahivi Moniz, is a dear friend of mine, and he has spoken highly of you and highly of, you know, working with you. And also, my dear friend, Kumuhula Marikupau, is also a long-time association of your circle out there. And so, you know, thus far, my knowledge of John Morgan and Kualoa Ranch is positive. So I look forward to that continuing on in that manner and whatever I can do to help build a bridge and also ensure that Iwikupuna are protected, I'll most gladly avail some time to it.
Ina, can I make one more comment?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Kamuela Kala'i. Okay, this is Kala'i again. So I'm just wondering, I don't know if this question is for Regina and or Hale Aloha, but when you say that there will be
a form of registering the burials, would that also include some kind of protection for the burials so that they can be identified, as well as a historical site, so they can be identified, as well as have some kind of buffer zone around them so that in the future, whatever, you know what I mean? So that they're not just registered, but they are identified and protected by some kind of physical barrier, whatever it is, so that this ohana doesn't have to worry, you know, about, like Hale Aloha said, gotta go stand in front of machines, you know, that they're registered with the state and that they are physically protected by something, a wall, a barrier, something. When does that kuleana happen?
Would that be like a burial treatment plan? Or would that apply in this situation?
I'm more worried before the burial treatment plan, you know, like protect the burials now, you know, and then work on a burial treatment plan, but make sure there's a buffer zone between, so that the property owner understands that these are historical properties and or burials and identify them, you know, because they'll be registered with the state. And I think there still needs to be a preservation in place burial treatment plan, but you also need a physical something barrier. I'm not sure when that happens in the process. If you got to do a survey first or what? So that's what I'm asking. Either Hale Aloha or Regina, I think, might have that answer.
Yeah, make a short statement.
Ian, is that you?
Yes.
Go ahead.
So I'm the neighbor on Kuleana Ka'anaana. I've been here since 2004 in Hakipu'u.
Yes.
I'm a strong advocate for the Aina. I'm also surrounded by the ranch and have a great relationship surfing with John and with the education department, do a lot of things back and forth. I would call it very reciprocal. Same thing with the Fukumitsu Ohana. It's been an honor and a pleasure to live next to Kolea and Summer and all of their family all these years. And I've been very well respected and cared for, and I truly appreciate that. And, you know, as a matter of, you know, the Kama'aina Portuguese in the mix, in foreign testimony, I would say they've been very consistent on their care for the Kalolo'i of these terraces. I as Hale Aloha said, I worked for cultural surveys for many years, and we worked together all the way back at the brewery back in 1990. Appreciate that. Nice to see you. So I also stand here as an archaeologist who had been involved in all the various moments along this pathway that the Fukumitsu's described, and have been gently trying to encourage, you know, proper action based on what I know about SHPD rules and laws and regulations here. And so most recently I've reached out to John after what happened down below. And I've done it before to everybody in the neighborhood, but I don't think I was known as an archaeologist, to do whatever work I can do to first locate the burials based on the old maps and the points that are there. And second, to look at what Kala'i was saying, finding a way to ensure that they're at least safe right now during this. What Hina said,
mahalo.
The outcome. So, thank you.
Mahalo.
May I ask a question?
Yes, go ahead.
Mahalo. To the Fukumitsu Ohana, in your presentation, you stated that there were at least three historical sites abutting or running through the property that were already registered with SHPD. Is that correct?
Yes. There's site numbers given to the Hagibu Burial Mound, and then the Hagibu Lo'i Terraces. It's on a portion of the property.
And a portion of the Lo'i Terraces that are registered with SHPD, those were damaged somewhat in the grubbing. Is that correct?
That's what we were, looking into.
I'm trying to get an archaeologist through SHPD to kind of, you know, go through
determining
their physical and the maps they have as far as surveys they've done to, you know, protect these sites and give these site numbers what, you know, be better if they're physically there to see. It's hard right now, I understand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that's yeah. why the site visit would be really helpful for, I think, even Regina to be able to see it and see if that's part of that, those Lo'i terraces that are within that site number.
And Regina, sorry, are you still here? Ms. Hilo? May I ask a question?
Yes, this is Regina. Go ahead.
Thank you. Are those sites that are registered with SHPD, once you get them registered, is that available to the public? Like, can anybody look that up? Do you have to pay for it? Or?
I do believe that the site information should be public. However, I don't know the completeness of her records, given that we are currently going a digitization project that has been temporarily put on hold. So I'm not certain exactly how accessible our site files are at this particular moment.
But they are public record and you don't have to pay or anything to access them?
Yes, that's correct. They are a part of the public record. However, given the current COVID-19 situation, our offices are closed and we are not sure when they will be opened again.
Okay, thank you.
I have one more question, Hina, or one more statement. Ahead. So in view of the fact that because SHPD can't get down there and archaeologists can't get down there, can an agreement be made between John Morgan and Ohana Fukumitu to at least identify the areas they know of, with even if it's yellow tape, something, so to just to mark the areas off so that those known areas, it's hands off. Just leave them alone until you figure out exactly where everything is. Because with this virus, things are just not going to happen as fast as we want them to. So just as a demarcation so that Morgan knows what the Ohana is talking about, really clear. Just mark it off, you know, that this is Kapu. You don't touch this over here because these are known burials and or known historical sites. So I'm hoping maybe John Morgan can agree to that, hopefully today, so that this Ohana can rest at night. You know, they have to keep looking down the road or up the road to make sure that things are not happening that shouldn't be happening. You know, that's the very least, I think, that could be done until registration happens, burial treatment plans happen, preservation in place happens, and barriers are put up and protections are put up for these sites and for these iwi kupuna.
Mahalo.
Hina, I have a couple of questions.
Go ahead, Chuck.
Number one, nobody's asked, what is this grading being done for? Why are we doing the grading in the first place? Because you just don't go in there and grade something without some ulterior objective. And also, just a general question to Ian. Ian, you said, are you still acting as an archaeologist today, or are you working with another firm, or are you retired, or what is your status as an archaeologist?
As an archaeologist, I do keep my relationship open with Cultural Surveys Hawaii. I have my own master's degree from the University of Hawaii and Pacific Islands Studies, but I am working for the University of Hawaii in various appointments, teaching over there for the most part. I had 25 years with Cultural Surveys in the past and understand the SHPD rules and archaeological report writing process. At this point, it's just about doing a basic surface survey of the areas in order to identify, as was mentioned, all of these places that we should be respectful towards. But yeah, so I am acting as a neighbor in that way and in a desperate plea to save the cultural integrity of Hakipu'u, because it is the most intact ahupua'a on Oahu.
Okay, I don't want to belabor the point, but again, at some future meeting, I think it be good for all of us to understand what the grading was being done for in the first place. What's going to follow on the grading? Notes,
right. I mean, I'm not going to speak for John. He said in his notes on the side that he wanted, and he said this in a letter, that he wanted to just put open grass there. And so he was just clearing what Kolea described as the long-term, you know, flowers and things like jungle that had grown up over there was you know, the impression I got. If there's more than that going on, you'll have to ask John, and I pray not. You know?
I mean, I feel like the grubbing that was done went a lot deeper than like the surface area, though. Like that, to dig up a whole tree and then all those piles of dirt would have been more than what would be just like a surface clearing. Wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah. I mean, what Hale Aloha said is absolutely right. I'm sorry, but tree roots love burials. And that's my experience as an archaeologist every single time. And because the shoreline has changed so much, you know, we don't know where they are, but we know that that's all an archaeological site already. So, you know, with John's permission, and I would love to be able to go in there and do that without risk of trespassing. They've all been really good about letting us walk through the Johnsons. Everybody, there's a rite of passage to the beach. And so, but I have tried to stay away until I had a chance to talk to John and say, hey, whatever I can do to help, I'm here. But of course, perhaps at this point, it might require an archaeological company. You
know. Mahalo. At this time, I'd like to point out that we are 10 minutes away from 5, which puts our meeting today at just about 7 hours. We have lost quorum. So anything now is simply sharing, and our burial council is no longer operating under the auspices of, you know, having a quorum to officially say anything. I appreciate the sentiments that were shared by everyone in this most recent discussion on the agenda. We look forward to a subsequent reach out from the, you know, from perhaps you, John, or whoever you designate to be able to convene us. And we, again, it can be, as we've seen here on this meeting, it can be achieved via distance. If not, I do believe that, you know, you do have the facility to support people being in the same room and same time and still observe social distancing and be safe. With that said, I think that any and all kinds of discussions towards what's happening out there can be handled independently of this large community meeting, but it is now being put into public forum, and we will have follow-up in the way of the agendizing of the Fukumitsu Ohana recognition to the burials that they indicate.
I have an unrelated question of the Fukumitsu Ohana. Are you the family, by the way, that brings high school volunteers out to your lo'i?
Well, the lo'i there is, it's actually becoming part of a conservation easement, so through Trust for Public Lands. So yeah, we have been doing classes through like Kamehameha schools and other programs, just but only explorations, I think we did.
Yeah, our granddaughter's been out there a couple of times.
Yeah, I think it's I don't know what they changed the name to for Kamehameha's like summer program. But we did that a couple of summers, yeah.
Okay, thank you. I don't want to take up too much time here.
Thank you.
Mahalo. Okay, so we look forward to that follow-up with Kualo Ranch and the Fukumitsu Ohana. Mahalo for everyone continuing to be here. I would normally ask for us to adjourn the meeting already. However, I see that these inadvertence of particular. Okay, so Regina, is there anything pressing that you need to update us on for Kailua? Item A, March 25th, 146 Kailua Mo'o Street, Kailua, Olaupoko.
No, I think there's a consultation ongoing with the descendants of the Kailua area.
And then descendants are on it.
Yes, yeah, they're okay. Aware and are actively involved.
Mahalo, that's all I need to know. Lilia?
Lilia, give me 1 second.
March 27th and 30th in Waikiki at the Lilia, formerly the Kuhio Collection.
Okay, I see Matt's still on the phone, so if he hears anything that I represent incorrectly, he can jump in. So two inadvertent discoveries, one on March 27th, which was a tibial shaft fragment, and a fifth metacarpal, which is a hand bone. Disturbed context, so secondary deposits, not in their original in situ locations. And then requested exploratory work to be done to determine if there are any in situ elements, kind of indicating, you know, an intact articulated burial. So during exploratory, sorry, can you guys hear me all right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So during the subsequent exploratory work on March 30th, a single adult human rib fragment was identified, which was really close to a kupuna that was identified during the archaeological inventory survey. All the disarticulated fragments, both from the March 27th and the March 30th inadvertent discoveries, are currently in temporary curation on the on-site facility.
So your mitigation of this issue is?
It will most likely be for relocation to the established burial preserve on site where the banyan tree is. That is an established burial preserve identified during the AIS.
Mahalo. Mm-hmm. And the Waimanalo, this is the one that I was contacted by the council member inquiring about this.
Sure. Yep. So on April 6th, there was an inadvertent discovery during archaeological monitoring work at Waimanalo Bay. It was in an area that had already been graded and grubbed, or at least grubbed, I think. They went in after, I think it was like a 6-month pause. The work resumed and they went in to clear this area and then came across this kupuna. And so work stopped immediately. The on-site archaeological monitor was 85% certain that it was a human, that the bone was human, but she wanted, well, I asked for a second opinion to be absolutely certain. Cultural Survey sent one of their qualified osteologists out there and assessed the bone and didn't say it was human. So at that point, I kind of jumped in and asked that there be an on-site meeting, I think it was the following day, to kind of determine if we could see an archaeological context from where this kupuna was discovered, and then also what the wishes of the descendants and the community advocates in that area were. So we met, I think it was the following day on-site, and basically, after talking with the community representatives, the project proponents, and a member of Caldwell's, I can't remember exactly what he does, but anyway, we had that meeting on site. It was determined that the community representatives preferred to keep the kupuna in that location where it was discovered, and so we made plans to come back and preserve that kupuna in place, which were carried out, I think, within the next 24 hours. I think it might have been a Thursday. I'm not exactly sure. All of the details are a little bit fuzzy right now. But we did meet on site after hours in the early evening, and the kupuna was protected in place. It hadn't been moved from when it was originally discovered. And it is there on the location of the exactly where it was discovered originally.
It is what kind of fragment?
It was hold on 1 second. Oh, shoot. I think it was a humeral fragment, but just let me double check.
All right.
Yep, it was an adult human right humeral shaft fragment. So that's the upper arm. It was missing both the proximal and distal ends. So when you just have the middle of the shaft fragment, it makes it a little bit difficult to identify exactly what element it is, and also whether it's human or not. But The on-site monitor did identify it as human. We asked for a second opinion on cultural surveys, graciously provided an osteologist who also confirmed it was human. So at that point, that's when we opened consultation to members of the community and project proponents, and really just wanted to hear from the community members first, because they're the ones that are out there as often as the archaeologists, if not more often. They've maintained a pretty much constant presence since the project shut down up until this discovery. So yeah, oia valeno for that.
Mahalo. Okay, and at this time, is there anything pressing that you need to update us? The last update on Shipti's cases inventory or internship?
Nothing pressing. We're still working on outreach. Most of our staff, as you know, are working remotely, so it makes it a little bit difficult for us to access all of the files and coordinate responses to issues like out in Hakipu'u. But we're very, very thankful for community just awareness and willingness to reach out to us and get us involved in things where we don't necessarily know things are going on. And so we're always, and me personally, I'm always so grateful when community contacts me. I might not be able to respond all the time, but I will try to respond within 24 hours. Oye, Valeno.
That Ohana just basically did a whole CIA.
My goodness, I know, right?
Yeah.
Like, Leslie and I are like, oh, that could be a master's presentation right there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was that was excellent.
Yeah, Summer and Kolea, that was probably one of the most in-depth presentations I've ever seen.
Mahalo, mahalo.
Mahalo. Okay, with that said, then, Regina, let's communicate with all the rest of our council members. Assumably, we would all plan for our normally scheduled meeting at the second Wednesday of each month, same time.
Same place.
All right.
June 10th. Okay, I'll send it to
you. I'm not sure. Will we be required to be distancing still into June?
It's highly likely, yeah.
Highly likely. Okay, well, we'll plan for it then. That's fine. But we can all be on an email strand and we can comment our availability. I'm assuming that it should be no different than this meeting. But with that said, mahalo nui for our meeting today. Thank you, everyone, for being present, for everybody's
mahalo.
Commitment and dedication. Mahalo nui oko. No ke ilau na ana. Mahalo nui ko manawa nui. Ko o ikai kame ko o kupa'a. Ke aloha nui a kako. Ke ia noho ana. Ahui ho. Aloha.
Mahalo.
Move to the drink.
Yes. I didn't take a motion because we don't have quorum.
Oh, that's true. That's right.
All right. Mahalo. Mahalo, mahalo.
Bye.
Uiho.
Aloha.
Mahalo.
Uiho.
Oh, aloha. Jesus.